Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, we have an all-pundit show with a great lineup. Amanda Moss is here, Russell Rowe, and Jesse Wadhams here for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
In Nevada, we know Senator Cortez Masto, and she knows us. She knows we shouldn't pay up to three times more for our prescription drugs than people in other countries. She knows we shouldn't have to choose between buying groceries and paying for the medicines we depend on. And she knows we can lower excessive drug prices by letting Medicare negotiate with pharmaceutical companies. Senator Cortez Masto, keep up the fight. Keep putting Nevada first.
What do you count on? You count on your power every day. At NV Energy, we've always powered what's important to you. But we're not looking at the past. We're focused on the future. While our standards are high, our rates will remain low. And our commitment to renewables isn't just meeting standards, but leading the way. Because you can count on more than just your power. You can count on the company who brings it to you. That's our promise. You can count on it.
Serving Our Kids Foundation's mission is to serve homeless, at-risk, and food insecure children in grades K through 8 throughout Southern Nevada. During the pandemic, Serving Our Kids has seen a 42% increase in the number of children served, providing more than 4,500 meals to kids in over 100 schools weekly. Serving Our Kids is powered by community support and volunteers. To learn how you can help, visit servingourkids.org.
Modern boutique Ahern Hotel and Events Center in Las Vegas. Host meetings and events on two floors. Stay in luxurious rooms and suites. Unlimited branding opportunities. Regional Italian cuisine by Chef Mark Segrisi. Flexible event spaces. Full buyout options. Visit ahernhotel.com today.
Nevada Newsmakers Studio is located at the headquarters of the Nevada Trucking Association. Motion and purpose are a truck's greatest virtue.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great all-pundit show for you today. Jesse Wadhams is here, partner with Black & Wadhams, attorney at law. Glad to see Black is still in the law firm, because Jesse, you've been slowly taking over that thing. Russell Rowe is managing principal with the Rowe Law Group. And Amanda Moss is senior director of government affairs for the Southern Nevada Home Builders Association. I just interviewed Zach Conine for another show, the state treasurer, and he said on his listening tour, Amanda, that affordable housing was one of the top three topics that is coming up constantly on their listening tour. Your thoughts on affordable housing and where we are with this?
Thank you, Sam. Yes, we've heard the same thing at both legislative and local government community engagement meetings, stakeholder outreach meetings, and it is a real issue. I think that now we have a unique opportunity to capitalize on some of these funds, leverage some of these funds, and combine them with existing programs to address the affordable housing issue. There's no silver bullet, or the nation wouldn't have an issue. But what we like to say in our industry is there's a huge difference between affordable housing and attainable housing, and we do need both in the market.
You know, with the cost of building, you know, for a time, those cost of building supplies going up dramatically. We've seen lumber prices coming down. Are we seeing other prices coming down as well?
Unfortunately, no. We're seeing labor increase. We're seeing commodities across the industry run short. We couldn't get resin for a while, so that stops you from getting windows, garage doors. And when you could get the lumber, you couldn't necessarily take that raw wood and the lumber yards fabricate it into what you ultimately see frame an actual house. So the challenge with lumber as well is, even though the costs have dropped significantly, we saw a 350% increase at one point, and the delays to actually getting that price to the builder and then to the homeowner is pretty significant. You're probably seeing about a 6-month delay in some of those costs that have come down actually see itself surface in the market.
Well, Amanda, one last thing here on this particular topic is in discussions with home builders and people who subcontract with home builders, what I'm hearing is that a lot of the big builders are pulling back on their development deals because they're having to reprice everything. And so everything's kind of on hold while they do the repricing. Is that what you're hearing too?
Well, so if you look early on in numbers in both 2020 and even the beginning of 2021, we were hitting record high permit numbers since the recession. We were on track to build 16,000 homes, what it looked like in sales numbers. But in actuality, with the way costs are, with the way material shortages are, and with our labor market, we could actually probably only sustain about 12,500. So you did see builders pull back, but that's really not only because of the cost piece and the labor piece, but also because these guys can't deliver homes to homeowners. And that's not fair, as you know, you have families ready to pack up and switch schools, and you know, the moving company is coming on Saturday. And if you can't deliver that house, then you can't sell that house. So we have seen sales pull back, but the actual construction has not pulled back. It's ramped up trying to meet that demand.
Russell, in the gaming industry, the numbers are through the roof, but you know, getting employees back to work has been a problem. You represent Boyd. How is Boyd doing, A, as far as getting employees back, and B, is affordable housing a question that comes up in those discussions as well?
Yeah, great question, Sam. To your first question on employment, it is really difficult. Despite the economy picking up and the numbers picking up, being able to hire employees and get them staffed up, particularly for properties that are trying to reopen, is extremely difficult. We're finding that it was difficult to shut down a hotel casino that's been operating, you know, decades, never closing. But what we're learning is it's 10 times more difficult to get the hotel casino opened up again. And the big part of that problem is staffing. And Boyd Gaming, in fact, just announced that on, I believe it's September 8th, Main Street Station, their property, one of their three properties in downtown Las Vegas will be reopening. And that's been closed for quite some time, of course. They still have another property, Eastside Cannery on Boulder Highway, that remains closed. So it's tough, and the affordable housing question is always a key piece, more indirectly for sure, but definitely something they do hear about from their team members. One of my other clients is Nevada Hand, which is the state's largest nonprofit affordable housing developer, and that we really do have a one in a lifetime opportunity with these federal monies. When you couple that with state tax credits and some of the other longstanding affordable housing financing mechanisms, there's a real opportunity to infuse a significant number of units into the state. It's going to take time, but still, there's an opportunity to really do something significant.
And the good news is that these funds, according to the treasurer, don't have to be spent right away. They're going to be spent over the next 4 or 5 years. And so therefore, hopefully, the workforce will be up to speed in terms of numbers by that point as well.
Yeah. And, you know, you mentioned earlier in your intro, Treasurer Conine, and we've been in a number of conversations with his office. And I just got to say, he's really done a tremendous job thus far trying to lay out a process of engagement and input that's meaningful, that helps direct how to use these funds in the most impactful manner. So hopefully that process continues to move forward smoothly, and we can hit those deadlines, of course, but do so in a manner that really helps the state.
Jesse, one of the things that, obviously has been a huge discussion point across the nation, but particularly here in Nevada, is childcare. How insane it is that somebody's making $17 an hour, which we would consider a good salary, but they need to pay $15 an hour in childcare. How do you feel the state should be looking in terms of resolving some of these issues? And obviously they're going to solve the whole thing, but resolving some of the issues.
God, I'll tell you, Sam, it's a great question, because I think childcare is really going to be a major part of how we recover. We didn't have in this state, particularly in Northern Nevada, a robust child care system, because, you know, even when my kids were going to daycare, it was waiting lists and there weren't enough providers, and trying to find the right balance of who could take the kid for how long and in the mornings and the afternoons. And that was before the pandemic and everything shut down. And then you have the shutdown, so many kids leave the system, so many providers stop. And trying to ramp up, I mean, Russell's analogy of the casino, you know, when you shut down the thing, trying to start it back up becomes a real issue. You've got, you know, employee sort of flight, if you will, moving around. I think if there's an opportunity to use these Recovery Act funds that help build and, you know, build out some child care, you know, and I have heard, and there's some, I guess, political issues around, is childcare infrastructure? But, you know, having lived it now, it's hard for me to argue that it isn't a meaningful component of how you rebuild, how you get folks back to work. As for ideas about how to do it, you got me, because I think we've got to somehow incentivize more providers. We've got to incentivize pay, you know, and...
So here's the big question. So is this a private enterprise function, or does this become something that the federal government, the states, local governments get into providing? Because, you know, this has actually been a problem for 50 years since women came into the workforce in a major league way. It's obviously been a problem from then.
Well, I think you're right. I think you see a society, over the course of more than a generation, you've seen a societal shift to a two-income family. You know, there's really not a somebody at home. It strikes me that there must be some kind of public-private partnership that helps drive how we address childcare, because, again, the employee issues we're seeing, the workforce, all of these pieces all fit together in ways. And there's always just kind of one bucket. There's the family, and you've got to figure out how to get them to work, to school, to do all that, you know, all of the components that make them a part of society. And if you don't have childcare as a part of that, you do see a very significant issue with folks trying to get back to work, trying to do jobs that we would like them to do that are outside of the home, you know, more of the service or construction. And addressing that is going to require meaningful investment that I think will require state, local, and federal help. It just strikes me that we've got a real issue in terms of becoming an expensive state to live. And if childcare is a component of that, in addition to health, to housing, you've got to do something to sort of take the pressure off.
Amanda, I've got a funny feeling as a new mom that you're chomping at the bit to jump in on this one.
I was going to offer up my my mom and my mother-in-law, but I don't think they can solve the entire state's issues. You know, I was very lucky. My son was born 3 days before the pandemic started, so I was able to work from home for a significant part of his infancy. It was a real struggle when my husband and I both had to go back to the office, and we're saying, you know, where can we send him? Who's open? Who makes me feel safe? Who is following all the CDC guidelines? And I got very, very lucky with our facility, who goes above and beyond what the state requirements are. And I think that's what's kept my son, you know, healthy and happy. But it's unfortunate. It is a very big issue. It's one that before I had a child, I didn't really have to think about. To Jesse's point, it's not just one family. It is an entire state going through those issues. So.
And Russell, just a last note on this. There is a black market in childcare, right?
Oh boy, but Sam, my daughters are in high school now, so you're testing my knowledge of the childcare market. Those days are over a decade ago. I hope that's not the case. And I do think to your, I think you or Jesse raised it earlier, the opportunities with these ARP dollars to use them for meaningful purposes for the people in Nevada. I would think childcare is definitely one of those, and if we could add that into the mix and create more opportunities, that more the better.
All right, let's take a break. More with this great panel when we come back.
Ahern Rentals began as Signal Gas Station on Las Vegas Boulevard. Founder John Ahern grew the business by offering rentals. His son Don built on John's legacy, growing Ahern Rentals into the largest independently owned American rental company with 89 locations in 30 states. Don also brought his experience and vision to equipment manufacturing with Extreme Manufacturing and Snorkel. Today, Ahern Rentals continues to bring its family values to a new generation. Learn more at ahern.com.
As you know, Reno is booming. Toll's development company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Toll's development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. tollsdevelopment.com.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
I'm back on Nevada Newsmakers. We continue our conversation with Amanda Moss and Jesse Wadhams, and we thank Russell Rowe. He had to jump onto another call. Jesse, the third thing that Zach Conine talked about as being the top three issues was mental health. And whenever we bring up mental health, it always frustrates me in a way, because we've been talking about this in my career for over 40 years, and yet it's such a big picture. How do you pick out which portions of mental health you try to deal with?
God, another amazing question of things to try to solve, and you know, that's sort of the over the beer conversation, because you're trying to piece all of that together. You've got, and mental health is such a spectrum of issues, from, you know, all of us just trying to address pandemic life and parenting and society, to, you know, entire sort of breaks requiring psychotropic drugs and other treatments. And so you've got this wide spectrum of how we address mental health, and yet we really have done a very poor job of how, you know, particularly with that sort of the donut hole in the middle, where folks that are sort of between 18 and what is the, when they move to geriatric, is 60s ish.
I think it was coverage. Last year for me, but yeah, that's neither here nor there.
It's a clinical term in the.
Sorry.
But you know, trying to fit all of those pieces together and understand that mental health is a very big component of how we get through our day. But also, there are challenges, and it also bleeds into homelessness. It bleeds into housing. It bleeds into all kinds of things where you've got challenges that I think, we can't lock them up in the sanatorium as we did in prior generations, because that doesn't work. But understanding and fitting those pieces together, I wish I had a better answer for you, Sam. But there are so many degrees of issues that even just trying to get the treatment, the providers, and the understanding is a challenge at best.
And Amanda, it's very obvious some of the issues that we have. Talking to the mayors of Sparks and Reno in the last week, they talk about reclaiming the Truckee River from the homeless. In Las Vegas, you go not too far from beautiful Circa, the billion-dollar property, and you're dealing with all kinds of issues on Foremaster Lane of the homeless laid out there. And a lot of that is connected to mental issues.
Yeah, I think I'm going to take a quick second, too, to plug our charity. We have Homemade Southern Nevada here locally in our office. We've had a chapter since 2014, and we build transitional housing for the homeless and actually expand some of these facilities. We've in-kinded over 95% of some of these projects, so these service providers can utilize their federal and state dollars and potentially even some of these care dollars to actually servicing those that are needy. But I think before you saw the opening of the care complex, the issue was a lot more severe. I think kind of one-stop shop is a great way to address these issues. You've seen other states in the nation do housing first, just a place to actually have an address so you can track these folks, make sure they get their driver's licenses, make sure they get their medications, make sure if they are potentially seeking work or some kind of other program that they have an ability to be located and be followed up on, so you can track these issues. Because to Jesse's point, I mean, not only is there, I think, a donut hole, but there's also kind of getting lost in the system. So you can throw as much money at the system as you can, but if there's no organization or really comprehensive approach, then really you're not solving the actual challenge itself.
All right, let's take another break and we'll be right back.
Get in on the Tamarack Casino's $175,000 Hidden Treasures Guaranteed Giveaway now through September 30th. Earn entries in the weekly drawings and win big during the two $35,000 grand prize giveaways. Your good times are at Tamarack Casino.
The Do It Right guys at Nevada Heating have one mission. Your air conditioner breaks down today, we fix it today. Why sweat for days while your air is down, when Nevada Heating can get the job done today and you can get cool again? For nearly 50 years, locally owned Nevada Heating has been getting the job done right. Call today at 323-5585 or see us online at nevadaheating.com.
Each day, the Children's Advocacy Alliance partners with leaders, legislators, and families across Nevada to improve children's health, education, economic well-being, and safety. We recognize Nevada will be no better than the state of its children. Be a part of this change. Be a supporter of the Children's Advocacy Alliance. For more information, go to caanv.org.
I'm Jeff Gehrman, an investigative reporter with the Las Vegas Review-Journal. I'm your guide for season 2 of Mobbed Up, The Fight for Las Vegas.
You're in with every gangster and hoodlum in the United States.
I don't go for that, Mr. Kennedy. I don't go for that kind of action.
I was on television accused of fronting for the mob.
Subscribe to Mobbed Up, The Fight for Las Vegas, Season 2, today on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get in on the Tamarack Casino's $175,000 Hidden Treasures Guaranteed Giveaway now through September 30th. Earn entries in the weekly drawings and win big during the two $35,000 grand prize giveaways. Your good times are at Tamarack Casino.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
I'm back on Nevada Newsmakers. We continue our conversation with Amanda Moss. She's the Senior Director of Government Affairs for the Southern Nevada Home Builders Association, and Jesse Wadhams, partner with Black and Wadhams Attorneys at Law. And the date we're taping this, which is the morning of August 23rd, the FDA is supposed to come out and say that the COVID vaccine is finally got full approval. And the government is hoping that this will allow people who have been concerned about the COVID vaccine because it did not have this final approval, which is in a way kind of crazy, as tens of millions of people have gotten the vaccine, that they will now get vaccinated. But we're still seeing a major pushback, but we're seeing businesses now having, because of this ruling, will be able to say, hey, if you want to come to work, you got to get vaccinated. The good and the bad of this for you, Jesse.
You know, at least when I got up this morning, I think, yeah, they saw that the FDA had approved or was going to in moments.
It's the world's worst secret. Yeah,
exactly. And so I think, well, obviously now you move from the emergency use to full approval. That does allow the businesses and particularly like your colleges and those places to say, yeah, now it is a mandate. Now we can say you cannot come in here without it. Again, I think that there is a certain benefit to that. I think getting society, getting businesses up and moving. I am maybe more of in the mindset that if a private business asks me to do a thing before I can go in there, you know, they can refuse the right to serve me for any reason. So I guess I have always sort of been in the mindset that when I choose to go to a business, I choose to play by their rules. So I think it would be my hope that with this surge in cases at the moment, with our hospitals crowding up, with kids getting more sick, and with the ability to add some mandates as businesses and particularly government education starts to see fit, I should hope that we either move to a level of, you know, acceptance, and that this is not different, say, than the flu shot, and I would hope that we can get rid of some of the politics around it, but unfortunately we have moved into such a time of just everything has become so political, and now there's a justification for every position that you want to take, and you'll find it on the internet if you search.
Amanda, you got about 15 seconds left here.
To say anything, or I think, you know, the one thing to follow up with Jesse, I think misinformation and fatigue are going to be two of the biggest challenges in making sure that we continue to open up the state and move in a positive direction. I think our industry is ready. Construction was deemed essential, and we take the COVID vaccination, we take COVID, the pandemic, and reopening very, very seriously. So we applaud everyone in the state, from the governor on down to Clark County Commission, especially the chairwoman, for all their work on this. And I really appreciate you having us. Thanks again.
Thank you both very much. And thanks to Russell Rowe, who had to leave us. But we really appreciate a great show with you guys. Really good stuff. We'll be right back.
Brian Culpa Photography was born in the rolling hills of Massachusetts, and now he can help you experience the stunning beauty of Nevada in a whole new way through the power of flight. Flying has always been a passion for Brian, and at Brian Culpa Photography, he can make your imagination soar. Brian has the creative mind and tools to tell your unique story. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Finish. Dad? What are you learning? This place is great.
Huh?
You gotta try this. Wow! This stuff is great! People are gonna love it!
Yes. Yes, they were.
As you know, Reno is booming. Tolls Development Company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Tolls Development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. tollsdevelopment.com.
Pro Group Management specializes in providing industries with the necessary components to satisfy and exceed workers' comp requirements. Every business has unique needs and specific regulations. Pro Group Management stays ahead of the curve, providing up-to-date services to keep your industry in top form. Discover how we simplify your tasks, improve efficiency, and reduce expense to keep you moving in a positive direction. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Watch Nevada Newsmakers on YouTube. You can do that now these days. We'll see you on the next broadcast.